Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoff, and today I have the pleasure to speak with David S. Linthicum, an internationally recognized industry expert and thought leader on cloud computing, SOA, Web 2.0, and enterprise architecture. Dave is also participating in our upcoming SOA in Action virtual conference, which is taking place on October 28th and 29th. Thanks so much for joining me today, David.
Oh, thank you very much, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Now, first of all, what is your take on this whole SOA is dead business?
Oh, I think even if you talk to Ann Thomas Maines, it's much more complex than that. So she was really pointing out the fact that people were having a hard time with the complexities around SOA. And in essence, those guys just kind of decided to declare it dead. And, part of a way to kind of grab attention to kind of a problem I think a lot of the analysts in the market were seeing at the time. And also to shine a light on the fact that people weren't doing SOA as effectively as they could be doing. So what's going on now is people really kind of understand the practical value of service-oriented architecture. I think that the vendors and the hype and, even some of the analysts and a lot of the press were writing checks that, quite frankly, couldn't be cashed. And the whole SOA concept was being set up for failure. So I think what we had around the whole SOA is dead thing is a normalization of expectations in terms of what we can do with SOA, where it's a practical fit, and really looking at it for what it really is, not as a savior to IT, not as something that can fix years and years of bad architecture, but something that is able to provide a good approach and architectural pattern to doing enterprise architecture correct.
Directly follow from that is a number of companies have experienced performance issues when implementing SOA. How do we get around this type of issue?
Well, you have to expect performance problems in any kind of federated distributed architecture, which really service-oriented architecture is. And we've been doing these for years and years and years. So it's really a simple process. As you start moving toward a solution, you need to understand and define the performance requirements for the particular architecture. In other words, how much time should it take for information to flow through the system, okay, from the user all the way to the database and from the database all the way back, and to all the points that are interested in consuming those services and leveraging those services. From there, we can create a model of what the service interactions and the information flow is going to look like. Then you do some prototyping and some testing to figure out what kind of real performance are you going to experience when this thing goes into production. And from there, you can create some very rudimentary mathematical models to figure out where your performance issues are going to be. And by doing that, you're able to provide a good understanding of where the performance bottlenecks are going to be and work around them. Use different products. Perhaps you may not want to use web services in some instances. You want to use transactional kinds of systems. And just understand what you're getting into, model performance. And if you do see issues, there's always a way to engineer around them.
Good to know. Now, as you're going to be hosting the roundtable on the convergence of cloud and SOA at the SOA in Action virtual conference, do you think the pervasive use of cloud computing will expand or contract the use of SOA?
I think it's expanding exponentially the use of SOA, and it's funny that people that are using it don't really know they're using it. So if you look at what cloud computing is, it's really kind of the mother of all federated architectures. We're looking to leverage all of these assets, typically through APIs or services that are outside on the platform of the cloud, and we're accessing storage services and information services and services that are around CRM applications and services around ERP applications, and we're consuming those services inside the enterprise and leveraging them with our on-premise systems. So that's service-oriented architecture at its essence. So what people are doing is they're moving out into cloud computing. And I wrote about this in my books, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence in Your Enterprise, is they're really looking at the patterns of service-oriented architecture to be kind of the foundation in how they're moving to the cloud. So they're taking their existing as-is architecture, they're breaking it down into a functional primitives of clusters of services and behaviors and data, then figuring out from a logical point of view, which services, data, and processes should exist on the platform of the clouds and which ones should exist on-premise, looking at security requirements, performance requirements, privacy requirements, compliance requirements, all those sorts of things. And then when they deploy it, lo and behold, you have a service-oriented architecture because we're addressing all of these distributed systems as services. We have to have a very robust governance infrastructure in place that allows us to control and manage change and log and do the whole transitional stuff as we operate these services in a real-time state. And then ultimately, the ability to put these things into various security models that are right for the particular architecture. In this case, what I call a service-oriented architecture using cloud computing.
Great. Now, you mentioned governance, and it seems that those coming from the design time SOA governance, they seem to be floundering, where runtime governance seems to be exploding. Why exactly is this?
Well, I think the design time guys had good intentions of that if you're going to do governance, you're going to have to go through a very robust design phase to really kind of design the policies correctly around the services that are out there. However, the aspect of runtime governance became a lot more valuable to people that are implementing service-oriented architecture, and now people that are implementing service-oriented architecture using cloud computing, because at the end of the day, the real value to SOA governance is the operational value, the ability to kind of wrap these policies around these services that are operating in runtime, making sure that they're not doing anything wrong, that the people who are leveraging the services are authorized to leverage the service, that they have clear and concise goals and objectives that are wrapped around them. We have it implemented in a security infrastructure, able to track changes to the services. So if someone changes a service where lots of other services or lots of other applications are leveraging the service, they don't break lots of stuff. And it becomes more and more important as our architecture becomes more and more federated and more distributed. So moving to cloud computing creates a natural need for runtime governance. And they provide some good enough design time environments within those systems. And ultimately, it's going to be very domain dependent. So the design time guys are going to have to reinvent themselves into the runtime space or find some other niche in the emerging cloud computing meets SOA marketplace in order for them to survive, in my opinion.
Well, that makes sense to me, too. Now, what do you see for the future of SOA?
I see huge amounts of growth in SOA where no one's caring about SOA. I think the buzzword, as I've been saying for years and years and years, is eventually going to go away. We've been doing SOA, service-oriented architecture, as an architectural pattern predating the birth of the buzzword and predating the birth of the TLA. We've been doing it since I've been in computing. We just formalized it and became more interested in it as a discipline and put some pretty good and nifty technology around it. Now we have to move it into the cloud, which is basically taking SOA to another level, allowing us to extend our architectures outside to platforms that we don't happen to own nor control. So eventually, service-oriented architecture, which is what it is an architectural pattern, will be something that just becomes innate. It's a good architectural practice. So it's good architecture instead of service-oriented architecture. It is a, kind of the de facto standard approach in the way in which we design and deploy and architect our existing environments and our systems. And I think that eventually it's just going to be, very much like good programming. We object-oriented was all that in the bag of chips when it first came around. Now it's kind of the way we do something, and it's already built in there. We don't talk about it much, but it's in there adding value each and every day. And I would say that's probably 20 times the size that it was, 10 years ago. And I think service-oriented architecture is going to go along the same lines, that eventually it's going to become an innate architectural pattern. It's not going to be as an exciting thing, but it's going to provide a tremendous amount of value, and the use is going to explode as we move into these complex and distributed federated systems.
Excellent answers, David. And everyone listening to this, I recommend they pick up David's book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence in Your Enterprise, a step-by-step guide. And also please check out EbizQ's SOA in Action Virtual Conference, coming October 28th and 29th. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been an EbizQ podcast.